This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service.
Hello, my name is Catherine Cooper. I am here with
Bob Krifasi.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So what first interested you about water in the West?
I've always been interested in doing things like backpacking and rafting and canoeing. And ever since I started visiting various desert canyons many years ago, I just became fascinated by it. I also have a couple of degrees, an undergraduate and a master's in geology. So one of the things as part of all of that is I became really interested in geomorphology. And really, geology is what brought me out to the West so that I could learn and see about things. I went to school at University of Colorado in Boulder and Denver and started traveling all across the region and became very interested in rivers, geomorphology, everything that's associated with that. And the more I learned, the more interested in all of the different arcane aspects of water I became.
In the Western United States, water is so crucially important. Could you describe that importance to the various cultures in the West and how people approach water differently?
Well, the first thing I'd have to say is that in the Western states, water is existential. We need it for everything. Really, our basic survival for any human requires water. In the West, it's another level because you can't necessarily obtain water without manipulating it in some fashion. In the eastern states, wetter regions, there is ample rainfall, there's rivers, there's lakes that provide relatively easy access to water. Once we pass what's roughly the 100th meridian, so central Kansas and going west, the amount of natural rainfall drops pretty substantially. And in certain regions, it's very low. Without having supplemental water or adding water to have irrigation and crops, you just don't have a society or have any ability to have a viable culture. You really need to have water. The Native Americans are really the original savants with using water in the West. They had so many remarkable adaptations to live in this area. So in the rainier areas where there were rivers, they made diversions. They started to build reservoirs, check dams. They had remarkable innovations for utilizing the entire landscape for accessing and manipulating water. They would carefully look at the landscape to see which plants should be planted where on the hillsides and in the valley bottoms to take the best advantage of the moisture. And so they were really some of the original, well over 10,000 years, changing and manipulating water. Not only that, but adapting their plants, corn, and other crops to the water resources that were available to them. They were really integral in paving the way for anyone who came later as to how you use the water. The Spanish came in first in Mexico with Cortez, but then they had the Coronado expedition that came up for really a conquest in the 1540s. And then the Spaniards settled. They brought some irrigation technologies from the Iberian Peninsula, and they started to build ditches that they called acequias. The word acequia itself comes from the Arabic al-saqiya, which means water conveyance. And so they had learned from the Moors of North Africa, also desert country, how to manage water in dry regions. Once the Spaniards were in New Mexico, they were watching how the indigenous people were using their water, and their water systems merged in many ways with the pre-existing Indian cultures. They appropriated and took for themselves some of the Indian ditches. and then transform them. They use some of the processes of cooperation that they saw the Indians doing. And so they adopted many things that they saw from the indigenous people to build their own systems. So today across the West, we have, at least in the Southwest, in New Mexico, parts of Arizona, Southern California, even in parts of Texas, a long legacy of these acequia cultures that really are integral to particularly small communities and how they use water. Now, the Euro-Americans came in with Mexican-American War in the 1840s. And when they came in, they saw how the Indians and the Hispanic people were using their water resources. That informed what the 49ers were doing when they went to California in the Gold Rush. It informed how the Mormons built their irrigation works up in Salt Lake area, and how the gold miners and new farmers that were coming into Colorado's Front Range built their systems. So it was all a process of building one on top of the other and learning from the previous occupants how to live in this arid environment.
All of these technologies have been developed for the use and conservation of water. How do they fit within the current cultural landscape of the West?
They like to say the present is the key to the past. I like to invert that in some ways and say the past is the key to the present. If we look to the past and see how our predecessors did things, we find that they were actually very logical people and that a lot of what they did were based on rational decision making and how to live in the environment. So they would see how the rivers flowed on the landscape. They would look at the geomorphology where the terraces were. They would see how the riparian landscape sat in there. And then they manipulated that to survive. And as each generation has come in, we've built on that. What we have today is a very layered landscape with the older water facilities having influenced what comes next. For example, when the first white settlers came into the Front Range, they were practical. They weren't going to do any more work than they needed to, and so they built their irrigation ditches in the valley bottoms. As more people came in, the land was taken, and then the next settlers were, well, how are we going to get water? And they started to build these ditches that would go up onto the terraces. And then later people would realize, well, the water's polluted because of mining, so let's build a pipeline from the mountains, and so on. And so they would systematically build up higher onto the terraces. They moved higher into the canyons. As each generation came in, they layered their new uses on top of their pre-existing uses. And so it became, you know, pretty convoluted, but really it was all based on a series of rational decisions at each stage of the development process.
Where would you say the West is now with regards to water and its psyche?
That's kind of the million-dollar question in many ways. Water is an existential question in the West. We're starting to bump up against natural limitations in a way that we haven't. We've fully appropriated the rivers and lakes in the West. We've built reservoirs for 150 years. And with climate change, that's kind of dialing back the availability of water in a way that we have never seen before. So what we're grappling with is, I think, not how do we develop new water resources, but how do we reallocate the water resources we already have and to utilize what we've already developed in a more efficient and pragmatic manner. We're dealing with scarcity in a way that we haven't in the past. In the early 20th century, water conservation meant building large dams. Hoover Dam was constructed as a conservation project. The people of that era saw conservation as putting water in a reservoir so that it wouldn't run downhill and out of their state. Now conservation is seeing how do we maximize soil moisture? How do we have intricate ways of reusing water? How can we take water that has been maybe flushed down the toilet, cleaning it up, and using it for irrigation or in some instances even in homes? So the ideas of how we utilize water has become more sophisticated and is in a response to the scarcity that we're now experiencing.
So you wrote a book on Western water, Western Water A to Z. Were there any particular topics that you wanted to include on a personal level but couldn't as an author, or any that you would add now if you went into a second edition?
Oh my, yes. When I did it, there were two categories of subjects that I wanted to deal with and incorporate. There were some that I was like, this is really cool, I should include it. But when I sat down and actually wrote the book, it was like, well, it's going to just expand beyond any reasonable means. And my publisher will just say, oh my goodness, we can't do this. So there were a few of those, and I won't get into those, but they are out there. There were two or three big things that I had tried to find information about. And I would love to see a PhD thesis here or there dealing with some of these things. For example, I'll back up a little bit. One of the things I really tried to address in the Western Water A to Z was indigenous use of water and to give them a meaningful voice that other works of water maybe had not done previously. So there's a lot of really good books on water, but it tends to start with the end of the Civil War and the beginning of the Euro-American era. I really wanted to give a voice to and a shout out to the indigenous and Hispanic cultures that did so much to lay the groundwork. Extending on that, I would really love to see some deep work on gender. You start going through the work on Western water, particularly Euro-American, and it tends to be white males. And it wasn't just all white males. The history is rich and varied, and I'd really like to see more with gender. I also think a very important piece is environmental justice. So the misallocation of water in the West tends to follow economic and racially discriminated communities. So if you're a wealthy community, you're going to have very good water and wastewater infrastructure. If you're poor communities, you're going to be facing more issues around pollution, access to water, and things like that. So I think social justice is another aspect. And then there's another piece that I had just found nothing meaningful, at least for me. It's probably out there. I didn't find it regarding African Americans and their use of the water in the West. There were certain communities that agricultural communities, I can think of Deerfield in eastern Colorado was an agricultural community, but there really isn't a lot around that subject as well. And I think it would be really fascinating to see how those communities dealt with water issues and bring some of that into the story to kind of round out the picture so that it's more inclusive for every community that we have.
That's a great note to end on.
Yeah, thanks.
So for anyone
it's
listening,
my pleasure. It's really fun.
You just have three thesis topics you can go dive into.
I'd love to see that. If you want somebody to read the thesis when it's done, I'd love that too.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,